This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
For coming. Firstly, on behalf of the Kilat Munarata Ma'or, welcome to Rabbi David Lapin. It's good to have you with us this Shabbat, the whole of Shabbat. Thanks for giving the time to the people of the Kilat and the broader community. On behalf of Rabbi Lapin, thank you everybody for coming. I'm sure we'll have an entertaining and informing evening, and I hope we'll have many more opportunities in the future to hear Rabbi Lapin.
Thank you very much, and Shavua Tov. And thanks to all of you for giving me this pleasure to be able to see you, many of you old friends, and it's just wonderful to see you once again. Some of you new friends, and it's also wonderful to see you. And thanks again to my wonderful hosts, Dr. and Mrs. Shamroth, and to Avaria Gordon for making all of this possible and creating the opportunity for me to reconnect with you. It's all been a very special opportunity. The Gemara says in Chagiga, Tanu Rabbonin. We learned in a Braisa, Maise b'Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroika v'Rabbi Lozer ben Chasmo sheholchu lahakbil pnei Rabbi Yoshua b'Fakiyim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroika and Rabbi Lozer ben Chasmo went to show honor to Rabbi Yoshua in Fakiyim, in a place called Fakiyim. Omar Lohem, when they came, he said to them, Ma chidush hoyo beveis hamedrash hayon. What was the chidush in the Beis Hamedrash? You've come from the Beis Hamedrash. What was the chidush? What was the innovative idea that came out of the Beis Hamedrash today? Omrulo, they said to him, Talmidecha onu memecha onu shesim. We didn't come here to tell you, to give you speeches. Sometimes that happens. People come and they come to talk, not to hear. They said, we haven't come to talk, we've come to listen. You tell us what your chidushim are, not ours. Omar lahem, he said to them, Afa pikein I efshal lebeis hamedrash beloi chidush. Nevertheless, it's not possible that you were in the Beis Hamedrash and there wasn't innovation, there wasn't chidush. That in itself is a whole wonderful piece, isn't it? Because in this, Rabbi Yeshua defines the Beis Hamedrash. In a recent essay on the website, I defined the difference between a library and a Beis Hamedrash. A library is a warehouse of ideas, and a Beis Hamedrash is a factory of ideas. If in a Beis Hamedrash there's no chidush, that's like a factory that's not producing. It's not a factory. A factory is only a factory when the machinery is going and it's producing. The product of Beis Hamedrash is chidush. The product of Beis HaMedrash is innovation. Today innovation is not that popular, for whatever reason. But if innovation is not popular, it means Beis HaMedrash, and we're converting our Beis HaMedrash into noisy libraries. That's what's happening. They have collections, they're warehouses of ideas, which we're recycling and recycling. That's not a Beis HaMedrash. E'ef shel a Beis HaMedrash v'lo yechidush. It's not possible by definition to have a Beis HaMedrash where there's no chidush. There must be chidush. And I want to know what the chidush was. Shabbos shumi hoiso. Who spoke? Who gave the shiur today? Whose Shabbos was it? They said to him, Shur Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah hoiso. It was Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah's Shabbos. Imagine that. You've just come from a Beis HaMedrash. And who gave the drosha? Not some guy from Los Angeles. Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah gave the drosha. And they're quiet, as if they've got nothing to say, as if they've got nothing new to tell. Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah gave the drosha, and you're not exploding to tell me, what did he say? What was new? Uvamehasa hagodayim, what parsha did he talk about? What was the sugya? What were you learning? Amrulay befarshas hakel. We were learning the mitzvah of hakel. It must have been this Shabbos, it must have been the same time, and between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And it was Parshas Hakel. Umad Dorash boy, he's got to pull it out of them. So what did Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah say new in Parshas Hakel that we haven't learned before? Listen to the Chiddush. This is Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah's Chiddush. Imagine you went to a shiur of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and he was giving a new, innovative, mind-blowing idea in the parasha of Hakel. What was it? Hakel es ha'om ha'anoshim v'ha'anoshim v'ha'taf. Quotes the pasuk. Gather together the peoples. Rabbi Meir said earlier today, you take the people to Motzei Shvi'is. It's exactly this year we would have Hakel with Mashiach. We're here, if we had the Beis HaMikdash by Sukkot time, we would have the mitzvahs Hakel this year. Gather together the people in a congregation, Anoshim v'Noshim v'Taf, men, women, and children. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Im Anoshim boim lilmud. I understand that the men come to learn. Noshim boim lishma. The women come to hear. Even if they don't learn, they hear. Taf lama boim. What are the babies coming for? What are the children there for? Explains Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and here comes the mind-blowing chiddush, only from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Kedei liten schar lemevi'eihen, so as to give reward to the parents for bringing them. Can you imagine such an anticlimax? That's the innovation. That's the chiddush. In other words, why do the children come? Good question. Why does the Torah say bring the children to this event? What are they going to get out of it other than disturb everybody else? Now they take and get nothing out of it, but the parents get reward for schlepping them. Is that a chiddush? And how does Rabbi Yeshua respond when he hears this mind-blowing chiddush of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? He says to them, Amalei margalis toivo hoyso beyedchem uvikashtem la'ovdo mimeni? You were sitting on this precious gem of an idea and you wanted to deprive me of it? You didn't want to share that with me? How could you do such a thing? That means to Rabbi Yeshua it was taken an amazing chiddush. Something new, something groundbreaking. What is this? What's so groundbreaking? I'm looking around at you, I'm not seeing faces glow with kind of a wow. I'm not seeing the lights go. Is that, gee, that's a real, what an idea. That's life changing. I'm not seeing that. But Rabbi Yeshua gets all excited. Rabbi Yeshua says, how could you try to keep this away from me? What did Rabbi Yeshua see in it that we don't see in it? How did Rabbi Yeshua understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in a way that we are not able to understand it? One thing that's interesting also is, it seems clear that the children get nothing out of it. Because if the children got something out of it, that's what the Gemara would have answered. Isn't that right? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would have said, men come to learn, women come to hear. And children, you might think they don't get anything about it, but subconsciously they do. It doesn't say that. So we've got to assume the children don't get anything. So what schar do you get for bringing a lump of flesh to the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot? That's what it is. So bring stones. Why doesn't the Torah say you want to give schar lemevi'eihen? Tell everybody they've got to carry 50 kilogram rocks to the Beis HaMikdash and they'll get schar for that. That will be the schar. Why children? Why subject the community to the children? If you want to give schar to the parents, let them subject them to some other horror than having to schlep children all the way up to Yerushalayim and take care of the children and watch the children and babysit the children while you've got all these hundreds of thousands of people and the melech trying to read the Torah in a way that people can hear, and you've got all your children there. You know what it's like. Not easy. So rather let, if you want to give schar, if the children get benefit, then tell us that. If the children don't get benefit, then why bring them? What's the point, schar, to give a parent schar for taking children for no reason? Where do we find such a thing that you get a reward for doing something absurd? So the Gemara is very difficult. Tosfos says, there's an interesting comment in Tosfos. Tosfos says on this that the women here, they don't learn. Noshim Lishma Omar Birushalmi, the Rushalmi learns Deloike Ben Azai, that this sugya does not go like Ben Azai, because Ben Azai says the Omar Chayev Odom Lilmud Levite Torah. A man has to teach his daughter Torah. That's the view of Ben Azai. Says Tosfos, the Bavli is Cholek. The Bavli disagrees. You're not obligated to teach your child, to your daughter, to learn Torah, because if that were the case, then women would go for exactly the same reason as men are going. Men are going to learn, women would also be going to learn. By the fact that that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that women go lishmoya, that means they don't have a chiyuv to learn. They don't have to learn the parsha up. They just have to hear the parsha. And that's sufficient for them. Says the Rambam in Hilchus Chagiga, Hakriya v'habrochos b'loshon hakodesh. What language do you? Does the king read the parshin of Hakelin in loshon hakodesh? Shneema tikro es ha'toyra hazois bilshono. Read this Torah as it is, authentic, original, not translated. This Torah. Afal pishiyesham loyazes. And what happens if most of the people there are Americans or French people and they don't understand Lashon HaKodesh? Says the Rambam, doesn't matter. It has to be read in Lashon HaKodesh. So what exactly are the women going to listen to? To some strange gobbledygook language that they don't understand. And what are the men going to learn? They're going to learn, they can't learn, because they're going to be hearing it in a language they can't understand. Tough, says the Rambam, that's how it is, that's how you've got to do it. The geirim she'enan makirim. And what happens if you have geirim there who haven't learned Lashon HaKodesh yet? They're still geirim, they still speak foreign languages. Chayovin lohachin libon ulahakshiv oznon lishmoya be'emo ve'yiro ve'gilo bir'odo ke'yoyim she'nisno be'boy besina. What does the geir do, the person who cannot understand the language? What must they do during the Parshas Hakel? They have to be there. What do they do while it's going on? They've got to apply their minds and their hearts. Lachin libom. They must apply their hearts. When the Chazal use the word lev, it's not just the left brain. When Chazal use the word lev, it's the right brain as well. You apply your heart as well, not just your intellect. Ula hakshiv, and be attentive. Oznam, their ears must be applied. Lishmoya, to listen. Be'emo, with fear. Ve'yiro, and awe. Ve'gilo, and joy. Bir'odo, and trembling. Ki'yom shenisno bo'y besinai. Which means that to emotionally connect with the Torah, you don't have to understand it. You have to understand it to learn it. But for an emotional connection with the Torah, you can do that without understanding it. You do that without learning it. Afilu chachomim gedolim sheyedim kol ha-Torah kulo. What about chachomim who know the Torah backwards and inside out? The melech could even be an amoretz for all we know. And he's going to read from a parsha that the chachomim know really very well. What are they going to get out of it? Chayovin lishmoa bekavono gedolo yisero. They should listen with extra kavono. So this is about kavono. This is about mindfulness. It's about a peculiar direct attachment to what's happening that doesn't necessarily have to go through the analytical mind. A chacham is going to sit and analyze the parsha. He knows the parsha. There's nothing to analyze. A geir who doesn't understand Hebrew, what's he going to listen to? He's going to be able to access, the chacham is going to be able to access the power of the Torah without necessarily having to get involved in the intellect. What about, says the Rambam, this is amazing, what about somebody who can't hear? Not he's deaf, because if he's deaf, he's potter. But he's standing too far away, he simply can't hear, his hearing is not that good, and the king doesn't talk that loudly, and he's far, and there are lots of children making a lot of noise, and he can't hear. What is he supposed to do? Mechavin libo likriyazu. Also, use your heart. You don't have to use your ear. That's an amazing chiddush we're learning in the Rambam. One can listen with organs other than the ear. One can hear with one's heart. You can hear without hearing. That's unbelievable. Are you beginning to understand why Rabbi Yeshua got excited with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? That's some chiddush. That's unbelievable. That it's possible to be shomea. Belibom, bechavin libeli kriyazu shaloi kavao hakosuv. Because why is this mitzvah there? Elo lechazeg das ho'emes. It's there for the strengthening of the of true belief, of true commitment. The yire atzmoi ki'ilu aton itztavoi bo. You know what? You can't use your ear. Use your imagination. Imagine. Go into a fantasy world. The fantasy world is as if you, this moment, are being commanded by the Torah for the first time, umipi ha'gvuro shoymo, and you're hearing it from the Ribbono Shel Olam. This, by the way, is a very beautiful technique to use with Kriyas HaTorah every Shabbos, and during the weekdays too. Sit and listen to the words as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is dictating them, as if you're hearing them from the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you understand them, so much the better if you understand the words, but even if you don't, to hear it and fantasize. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the power of fantasy for a reason. The power of fantasy is not to fantasize for nothing. We can employ the power of fantasy for enormous spiritual growth. Because we can transport ourselves using fantasy to places we've never been to and to ages we're not in. That's what we can do with fantasy. And fantasy doesn't mean it's all made up. Fantasy really means you're actually accessing a different space and a different time. You're able to transport yourself. That's what fantasy does. Yire atzmei ki'ilu. See yourself as if. Fantasize. Use dimyon. Use imagination. Ki'ilu aton itztavebo, as if you've now been instructed in this. Mipi agvuru shoyma, and you're hearing it from Hashem. Shehamelech shliachu. Another chiddush in the Rambam. All from that same Gemara of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The melech is a shliach. And shluchoi shel odom kemoisoi. It's as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking himself. That's what a shliach is. The Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking. Lahashmiya divrei hokel is the shliach, Hashem's shliach, to communicate the words of Hashem to the community. And when a shliach is functioning, you ignore the shliach. The shliach is just a conduit. Shluchos shel Adam kamoisa, what you're relating to is the meshaleach. So who's really speaking? The Ribbono Shel Olam is really speaking. And what happens if you can't understand the Ribbono Shel Olam? Would that be so bad? You'll find out afterwards what it was all about. But you're hearing the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you knew that down the street or in Yerushalayim tonight, the Ribbono Shel Olam was giving a shiur, and you were warned, you're unlikely to understand it. This is a shiur for Rosh Hashivas. The Ribbono Shel Olam is giving it. You're unlikely to understand it. Don't even bother. What are you going to do? Stay in Ramat Beit Shemesh? Or are you going to go? And you're going to leave your kids here and with babysitters, or are you going to schlep them? A one of chance to hear the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what that was. That's what Mitzvah Hakel is. Well, if that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, then it's really very, very interesting. Because now Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is mechadish, a human capability, that it's possible for us to access Shmio even though we don't understand. Now that sounds all very exciting and a little bit new age. But this, the Sefer HaChinuch brings it back and makes it a little bit more down to earth. He explains how it works. What's the mechanism? And he says the following. Mishol shei ha-mitzvah, lefi shekol ikoron shel Am Yisrael, hi ha-Torah. The whole ikor of Am Yisrael is the Torah. That's what makes us who we are and nothing else. Uvo yipardu mikol umo veloshe. And that's what differentiates us from every other nation and every other nationality. We can access the most incredible pleasures through the Torah by getting to the pleasures of Olam Haba. Okay, and therefore, b'yoyos kol ikoron bo, since our whole essence is wrapped up in the Torah, it is appropriate that we should all get together once in a while to hear the Divrei Torah, And the call should go out. Call doesn't just mean voice, it means the news. The news should get out, the gossip should get out among all of the nation. And noshim v'noshim v'taf, men, women and children, lemo, ma ha-kibbutz harav hazeh shenitkabatznu yachad kulanu. This is a whole staged episode to encourage people to say, what's going on? What's this about? The whole of Klal Yisrael in one square? What's happening? What is this? V'tiyah tshuva, and we'll answer. We won't just say, the Kohen's giving mitzvahs hakel, the Kohen's speaking. That's not the way to answer that question. When somebody says, what's going on here? Do a sales job. Do some PR, says the Chinuch. The way to answer that question is, we're hearing Divrei Torah, and you know what Torah is? Torah is kol ikoreinu. It's everything we have is the Torah. V'hoideinu, and it's our majesty. V'sifateinu, and it's our glory. That's why we're here. We're here to hear our majesty and our glory and that which is our essence. That's why we're here. V'yovoyu mitoich kach l'saper begoydel shvocho. And then a conversation will take place. Really? In what way is the Torah such a big thing? In what way does it differentiate us? How does this define our majesty? V'hoiderko. V'yachnisu akol belibom, and through the motivational speech of positioning the Torah for what it really is, yachnisu akol belibom, everybody will bring into their hearts cheshko, a cheshek for Torah. A cheshek is a craving, a passionate craving for Torah. That's what this mitzvah is about. Ve'im ha-cheshek bo, and together with a passion, yilmedu ladas esh Hashem v'yizku l'toyva v'yismach Hashem b'ma'asov. Then you'll come to know Hashem. What another chidush we've got over here. How do you get to know Hashem? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, through relating to the Torah with a passionate craving. That's the way you get to know Hashem. Just to sit dispassionately and learn the Torah, you'll know the Torah. You can become a Bochi B'Shas that way. You can know the whole of Shas and not know God. That's possible. It's possible to know the whole of Shas and not know the Ribbono Shel Olam. When I was a child, we used to have a neighbor. He used to live across the street from us from Lithuania. And he was an apikurus. But my father always used to say, he's a real apikurus. You know, some people think, atheists think they're apikurism. You can't be an apikurus, my father used to say, if you don't know Shas. It's no kunst to be an apikurus if you've never learnt. That's not an apikurus, that's an amoritz. An apikurus is a much higher level. An apikurus is somebody who knows the Torah and he doesn't believe in God. That's a kunst already. How do you do that? And our neighbor was such a man, a wonderful man. Had no belief in God, but used to learn day and night. He used to learn on Yom Kippur. One of those famous Jews would learn with a cigar in his hand on Yom Kippur. Loved learning. Didn't know Hashem. And we look at that and we say, how's that possible? Well, I'll tell you exactly how it's possible. It's like somebody who learns Torah and talks Lashon Hara. It's like somebody who learns Torah and is not honest in his business dealings. Just as incongruent, kind of. How's that possible, you might say? It's possible because you're not getting intimate with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're learning Torah, you're mastering Torah, but you're not getting intimate with Hashem. Mitzvah Hakel is there to teach us how to become passionately craving for Torah. So that through that passionate craving, Yilmudu Ladat is Hashem. You'll learn how to know the Ribbono Shel Olam. You'll learn how to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Mitzvah Hakel. So what does the Sefer HaChinuch say? He seems to suggest that it's through conversation. So even if you don't understand what will happen, how does he explain, a little different from the Rambam? How does he explain? We have two approaches here between the Chinuch and the Rambam. The Chinuch says, the way, if you can't hear, or you're a foreigner who doesn't speak Lashon HaKodesh, or you're a woman who isn't trained in learning, how will you get to know what this is all about? How will you benefit from it? You'll ask people, you'll say, what's all this about? And people will enter into conversation, and they'll talk lovingly about the Torah, they'll talk glowingly about the Torah, that you will want to know more. You will want to crave it, you will crave it, that's what will happen. It's through the conversation that you'll get to know it. We have a precedent for that. The precedent we have for that is in Gemara Megillah. The Gemara says a strange thing. Haloyez sheshomo ashuris yotzo. A foreigner who hears the Megillah in Loshon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, is yotze. Asks the Gemara if the purpose of listening to the Megillah is pisuma denisa. The reason you listen to the Megillah is not just some kind of ritual, it's to publicize the miracle. A person is listening to the Megillah and doesn't understand a word of it. Where's the pisuma denisa? He doesn't know what's going on. Answer the Gemara, midi da'ava anoshim va'amayoritz. It's like amaratzim, women who aren't familiar with it, or amaratzim who don't know, they're also yotze. Matkif laravino atu anana achashtaronim b'nei haramochim miyadinim. Do we know, when it talks about achashtaronim b'nei haramochim, do we know exactly what they mean? They're funny words in the Megillah that none of us really understand. You know, mitzvahs kriyo firsum and nisa, hachanami mitzvahs kriyo firsum and nisa. Even if you don't understand, you'll read the Megillah, and through the reading there's pirsum and nisa. How so? How can there be pirsum and nisa if you don't know what you're reading? Says Rashi. Afal pi she'en yoidin ma she'shoimin. Even though the Amaratzim, or a foreigner who can't speak Hebrew, doesn't know what they're hearing, Shoyalin es ha'shoimin, they ask people who were listening, v'oimim ma hi ha'kriya hazu. And they tell them what the kriya was, and they tell them about the miracle, what happened, and they tell them the whole story. Storytelling is a very important part of our heritage. Storytelling, Pesach is storytelling, Megillah is storytelling, Parshas Hakil is story. The way you engage somebody is with a story. You don't engage somebody with a halacha. With a halacha, you inform somebody, but you don't create passion with a halacha. You don't create passion with information. You inform somebody with information. But storytelling, that was always the difference between a drosha and a shir. When a rav would give a drosha, there would be a lot of storytelling. It's medrash. A lot of storytelling, because in storytelling you can engage a person's emotions. So what does pirsuma nisa mean? That people feel emotional about the nes. They get excited by the nes. If you're listening to Megillah and you don't understand what will happen, doesn't matter, says the Gemara. You don't understand the Megillah, you'll turn to somebody and say, what's this all about? Why are the kids making a noise every time they say, Homon, what's going on? And the person will say, come, I'll tell you what this is all about. There was once upon a time a man called Ahasuerus, and he had a wife called Vashti, and you'll say the thing over, you'll tell the story. And if you're a good storyteller, the other person will be sitting on the edge of their seat while they listen. I'll say, wow, really? What an event, how amazing. And you've achieved Pesuma Denisa. And what triggered it? The Megillah. Without the Megillah, it wouldn't have happened. But the Megillah alone is not sufficient. The Megillah is just the trigger. So says the Sefer HaChinuch with Mitzvahs Hakel. Mitzvahs Hakel is just the trigger. The Mitzvah, the Hakel itself, just listening to the Pasha, that's not what does it. What does it is the conversation afterwards. At the tables afterwards, and people go home and they say, what was that all about? The whole of Klal Yisrael, to listen to the king once every 7 years, read a parasha of Chumash, what's that all about? Ah, this is about Kvod Tifarteinu V'Ikoreinu, that which differentiates us, that which makes us a nation. This is the Torah, and you'll talk about what the Torah is. It's an opportunity to talk about the Torah. Mostly we don't talk about the Torah, we talk in Torah. Parashas Hakel is a time to talk about the Torah. To position the Torah and give people a sense of what it really is. That's what the Mitzvah Hakel is according to the Sefer HaChinuch. So according to the Sefer HaChinuch, the Minchas Chinuch asks, how old does a child have to be to come to Hakel? What's the age? It just says, Hataf, bring children. How old? The Minchas Chinuch says a strange thing. It says, well, it doesn't say how old. It's the Gzeiras HaKosov, to give reward to the parents. In that case, he says, Nireh, the tekev sheyotzu michlal nefer. As soon as you're sure that the child will survive. It's a month old. From a month old, you take the baby to Yerushalayim. says the Sefer. What can a one-month-old infant get from it? They don't have to get anything. It's the parents will get. They're there as part of the props. People will say, why are all the children here? Why is everybody here, including the children? And that will cause the whole conversation, and through the conversation will come the outcome. Now, Minchas Chinuch goes even further. What about a baby who's blind or deaf? And therefore, when that baby is older, they will be potter. They won't have to go to Yerushalayim. Do they have to go as an infant? An interesting kasha. And the Minchas Chinuch says yes, because the mitzvah is not on the baby. When the baby's a cotton, the mitzvah is on the parent. So who cares? In any case, they can't understand. They're not going for their own good. It's a gzeras of kosov. They're going for the parents have to take them. So even if they're blind and deaf, they go. Very strange. That means the Minchas Chinuch really holds that you're taking a lump of flesh and getting schar for taking a lump of flesh to the Beis HaMikdash. What for? For nothing. Just to get schar for the Mivien. Why? It sounds a bit absurd. But according to the Sefer HaChinuch, I think one has to disagree with the Minchas Chinuch. Because the Sefer HaChinuch says very clearly how old they've got to be. Well, it gives you an indication, not by age. It doesn't go by number of years. It goes by mental capability. What does he say? Hakol yotzei b'toch kolor. The conversation takes place among all the people. Anoshim v'noshim v'taf. Leimor ma hakibutz harav hazeh. Men, women, and children will ask one another, what is this all about? Why is everybody here? That tells you how old the child has to be. Child has to be of such an age that he can ask a question and hear an answer. The same age that you bring them to the Seder table for. What age do you bring a child to the Seder? Kadei shishalu atinokus. We do all sorts of things at the Seder table so the children will ask. So what's the point of bringing a child to the table who can't ask? There's no point. So you bring children who can ask. The Sefer HaChinuch implies, I don't understand why the Minchas Chinuch is so confused. How old does the child have to be? According to the Sefer HaChinuch, it's very clear. The child has to be of such an age that he can participate in the conversation. Whatever age that is, some children will be younger, some children will be older. The child has to be old enough to say, what's happening here? What's going on here? That's an age that you bring the child to the Beis HaMikdash for Mitzvah Hakil. But according to the Rambam, it might be different. In the Sefer Minchas Chinuch's Kasha, according to the Rambam, probably works. Because the Rambam is very new agey. The Rambam doesn't learn it like the Sefer HaChinuch does. The Rambam doesn't say you get into conversation and through the conversation you'll know. The Rambam says there is direct communication from heart to heart that doesn't have to go through the rational faculty. You don't have to reason, you don't even have to hear. You can apply your mind, you can have kavona. In the Gemara Shir that we had before Minchi, we talked about listening to silence. What it is? Well, sometimes you can hear when somebody's silent. There's what to listen to. Many husbands and wives get, or shall I say, many wives get very frustrated that their husbands don't listen sometimes when they speak, but even more often you'll find that they say, he doesn't understand the silence. I keep quiet and he thinks I'm agreeing. He can't see. I keep quiet because I'm upset. I keep quiet because I'm offended. He doesn't hear. He can't hear silence. We're not trained in that. One can listen without an ear and one can speak without a mouth. One can communicate with one's heart and one can hear with one's heart. That's what the Rambam says. And therefore, even if you're a chochom who doesn't need to hear the melech because you know the parsha, use your heart. And even if you can't hear because you're too far and distant, you can't hear a single sound, use your imagination. Use your heart, he says again. Use your heart, use your imagination. There are other kalim we have other organs that can work to communicate in both directions if we learn how to use it. And that's what happened at Parshas Hakel. That's a little bit like the Yerushalmi says in Beitzo, the famous Yerushalmi where Rabbi Meir says, my Torah, where does it come from? Who was my Rebbe? My Rebbe was Rebbe. Rebbe says, who was my Rebbe? My Rebbe was Rabbi Meir. And where does my Torah come from? Because I saw the back of his neck. That's where my Torah comes from. Because everything else I could pick up on the internet, I didn't need Rabbi Meir to teach me. Information there are other ways to get. You can pick up a sefer, you can go through Shas, pick up a Shulchan Aruch, pick up a Rebbe. You can get all the information you want. That you will never get on the internet or in any library what I got when I saw the back of Rabbi Meir's head. That you can't get. What does that mean? What exactly did he see in the back of his head? that made him a godel? According to the Rambam, you can communicate without ears, you can communicate without mouths, you can communicate body to body directly. That's what you can do. You can communicate with eyes, and you can communicate with feelings. And to be in the presence of Rabbi Meir, even behind him, is what gave me my gadlus in Torah, says Rabbi. And Rabbi Yochanan says, and our greatness as Talmidim of Rebbe's came from seeing his finger stick out of his sleeve. That's all we had to see. Just to catch a glimpse of the real human being, we could connect. And that connection opened channels. We understand that a little bit better today. You know, we know what a connection is. We know what an electrical connection is. We know what an internet connection is. All you have to do is be connected, and you have access to all the knowledge that almost ever existed in the world. Just think of what it is. At the press of a button, you have access to all the knowledge in the world. As long as you're connected. And it's the same way with human beings. That doesn't mean that you can study all the knowledge, you haven't got time. But when you see the back of Rabbi Meir's neck, or you see the finger of Rebbe, you're seeing all that knowledge embodied in a human being in front of you. It's there. That's like a powerful explosion of emotional experience of knowledge that travels from one to the other. And we know that that energy created by Yediyas HaTorah has physical manifestation. You remember the story with Rabbi Elisha ben Abua at his bris, where the father saw the birds flying over and they got destroyed by the fire that was coming out of the Chachomim when they were talking Torah. It's real energy. When he says, I saw the back of Rabbi Meir, there was a glow. We talked on Friday night and other opportunities about some of the discoveries of quantum physics. And one of the discoveries is that every particle emits a source of light all the time. And that every particle is exchanging energy all the time. Subatomic particles are exchanging energy with one another all the time. And there's a very, very tiny glow that can be detected and measured from every particle of life. What about a human being? Sometimes that glow is so powerful it can burn birds high up in the sky. That's how powerful it is. Imagine the glow that Rebbe could see in Rabbi Meir and that Rabbi Yochanan could see in Rebbe. Just to see that fire was enough to give me all I needed to know. That's what made me who I was, says Rebbe and says Rabbi Yochanan. And so the Rambam also says, apply your mind and make yourself ki'ilu the yiratzma ki'ilu atanitztave. Live it as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is speaking. Feel the energy of Hashem because there's a connection. Hashem melech you. And it's not an intellectual connection. He's not giving a shir klali. He's simply reading the words of Hashem out of a Torah. You can follow in the Chumash. You know the words. But it's a direct connection from Hashem, and the energy that can flow to you, whether you can understand or you can't understand, even whether you can hear or you can't hear, it doesn't matter. As long as you're there, you can feel it. That's Parashas Hakka. If that's the case in the Rambam, what about babies? There's no reason that they can't be impacted as well. Not perhaps as much because they can't be mechaveh. But if there's an energy there that is tangible, that you can access, why can't a baby experience that energy too? That's the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That when Torah is being taught, there is an energy, there is a tangible force that impacts you according to your kavanah. You can access it. You can access it if you're good at it, and you can access it if you're not so good at it. And even if you're an infant, it will affect you. There will be an impact. Because there's a real tangible force of energy. When it was at Rabbi Elisha ben Abuya's bris, you could see it. It was fire with heat. Could destroy it. It was explosive. At smaller chachomim, it's not so easy to see it. But you can feel it. If you just learn to be able to feel, not everything through your analytical mind. Your analytical mind destroys it, this part of it. If you're learning a sugya of Gemara, you need your analytical mind. But with mitzvahs hakel, is not about analysis. Mitzvah Sakel is not a shir for Talmidei Chachomim. Mitzvah Sakel is for Anoshim, Noshim, and Taf. each according to their own ability to be able to access that force very directly and very, very powerfully. That's what Mitzvah's Hakel is. Now you understand why Rabbi Yeshua got so excited and said, did you want to deprive me of that? You heard that from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and you didn't want to tell me that? And what is Mitzvah's Hakel? Why do you take the children to Gzeres HaKosov? I mean, Cheschinuch and others say it's a Gzeres HaKosov. So what does it mean then according to the Rambam? Gzeres HaKosov doesn't mean an irrational rule that Hashem says, take these children, they get nothing out of it, but take them nevertheless and I'll give you some reward for doing something stupid just because I told you to do the stupid stuff. That's not what Gzeres HaKosov is. Gzeres HaKosov reveals to us certain correlations that we would not be able to work out logically. It's like homeopathy, Lahavdil. Homeopathy works. Does anybody know how it works? I don't know of anybody who knows how it works or why it works. But there's sufficient data to show this correlation. That's Gzeres HaKosov. If it's scientific, it's not Gzeres HaKosov. If it's scientific, it's science. Gzeres HaKosov, the Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes reveals to us laws of causality that we wouldn't be able to project using our own rational science or even halakhic understanding. That's Gzeres HaKosov. This is the Gzeres HaKosov. What is the Gzeres HaKosov? That human beings can access wisdom without the mind and without the ears. They can't access all of wisdom. You need to learn Torah too. You've got to use your left brain as well. But there is a dimension of wisdom that can be accessed without understanding, without even hearing. That's the Chiddush. That's the Gzeres HaKosov. And Rabbi Yeshua says, my goodness, you heard that this Shabbos. And you weren't going to tell me about that. That's life changing. That changes everything once you know that. That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's very interesting. And it's rather strange things happen, as you know. The occurrence of coincidence, if one can call it that, and it's always much more than anywhere else. One has one's eye open to it. It's literally as you land at the airport, you're in a things work differently. There's a different, when it comes to coincidence, the sequences of coincidences are far more rapid and much more stark than they are in anywhere else in the world. And there was just the Sunday, we had an opportunity which I want to share with you. And quite a personal opportunity, but it just touches so deeply to this area. And there were many coincidences which I won't go into around this particular maaseh, many wonderful coincidences. But the one is how this links to what I'm planning to be talking about this Shabbos. After taking my son to introduce him to his yeshiva, and then we had some time and we went to Yerushalayim, and I said, let's do some sightseeing. So he said, well, that's a great idea. Let's do some sightseeing. Who can we see? It didn't even enter his mind that I was talking about museums or archaeological sites in Yerushalayim. Sightseeing, you go and see the celebrities. So we decided we would go and see some of the Rosh Yeshiva and some of the Gedolei Yisrael. We'd knock on their doors and see who was at home. And as it happened, every door we knocked at was on home, and we were very graciously received, and we had a wonderful time. But one of the very special moments was when Rav Izrahi told us a story. And he's a great storyteller. Those of you who know him, he's a wonderful storyteller. When I was in yeshiva, I was much younger and he was much younger. I was in Kfar Chassidim, which in those days was a good 3.5 hours ride from Yerushalayim. And he used to come every Thursday night to give a shir. And he used to come to give a shir. Well, the reason that the Rosh Yeshiva used to invite him to give a shir primarily was to give people a taste of the joy. Because when our Rosh Yeshiva used to give a shir, it wasn't so enjoyable. It was terribly hard work. And if you really worked hard, then it was enjoyable. But with Rav Izrahi, you couldn't help enjoying it even if you didn't understand the word. It was just magnificent to watch, to hear, to listen. And it was late at night. By the time he got there, he used to start the shir at about 11, if I remember correctly. And the room was packed. Everybody used to pack in. Some people used to fall asleep. And it didn't make any difference. It was just exciting. It was lovely. It was wonderful. And he always knew how to wake people up, just with a story. He's a great storyteller. And he's a mimic. He can entertain. He can act. It's an important part of communication. How to tell stories. It's the only way you'll engage a child. It's the only way you engage an adult is with stories, not with facts. And he told us a story. And he said several years ago, it was now, it must have been 15 years ago at least, he was at a rabbinical conference in California. And an elderly Jew came up to him and said, "You must be Rabbi Baruch Ezrahi." He said, "I am." "And who are you?" And the elderly Jew said, "I'm Rabbi Lapin." It wasn't me. It was my father. And he said, "I know it. You must be Rabbi Baruch Ezrahi because you look like your grandfather. Do you know that you had a grandfather in South Africa called Rabbi Baruch Shlom?" So Rav Ezrahi said, "Yes, I do know. In fact, I'm named after him. My name is Rabbi Baruch Ezrahi. Baruch is after Rabbi Baruch Shlom, my grandfather in South Africa." So he said, "Do you know why he went to South Africa?" And the story is an amazing story. He was a Rav in Kelm. And his community decided to go to Otzon in South Africa, a little town in the middle of nowhere. And that's where they decided to find Parnassah. And the whole community went. His whole shul disappeared. He decided he can't trust them to keep Torah mitzvahs in South Africa. So he followed them. And he left behind 11 children, one of them Rav Ezrahi's mother, who was his youngest daughter, and his wife. And with their permission, he left them for 27 years and actually never saw them again. And he did it in order to take care of his kehillah, to make sure they didn't go off the derech. That's another whole discussion. Is that the kind of thing a Rav is expected to do or isn't expected to do? That's another discussion which we did, and we had that discussion too. But be that as may, that's what he did. And Otzon, in this little desert town, far from anywhere, the nearest reasonable town was Port Elizabeth, and Port Elizabeth at the time was probably 4 or 5 hours drive away through a mountain pass. It wasn't an easy access. And there in the desert in the Karoo was Otzon, and in Otzon there was the greatest community, South African Jewish community at that time, with learning taking place, shiurim, bosei medrash, mikvois, bosei, not yeshivas, but shuls, very serious shuls. It was a thriving mokum Torah all the time that Rabbi Baruch Shlom was there as the Rav. So Rabbi Baruch Ezrahi said, "Yes, I know that that's the story, that's why he went." So my father said, "I'll tell you something else that you don't know. And that is every Erev Rosh Chodesh, my father, that's my grandfather, would take me to Otzon. 4 hours there, 4 hours back. And he used to say to me every Erev Rosh Chodesh, 'I want you to see a Heilige Yid. I just want you to see a holy Jew. That's all.' Now you need to know, my grandfather was not Frum. My grandfather was a Poshut Balabos. He was traditional. I don't know what he kept. What he did, kept kashrus. I don't think he kept Shabbos. You know, the Jews who came to South Africa at that time and went into business couldn't keep Shabbos. So he probably wasn't even keeping Shabbos at that time. But he was a Yid from Lithuania. And every Erev Rosh Chodesh, can you imagine somebody doing that today? A Poshita Balabos, every Erev Rosh Chodesh, taking your little boy over a mountain pass, 4 hours there and 4 hours back, just to see someone, not even to speak to him, just to see him." And I'm convinced, I said to Rabbi Zrachi, I'm convinced that's what made my father decide he wanted to go to yeshiva. Those visits. Because there was no other influence in his life. He grew up in Port Elizabeth, there was very little there. I don't think there was any other influence that could have caused him to want to go and learn Torah other than those visits to Rabbi Baruch Shlom. To see what you can pick up as a child without rational interaction. They didn't have conversations. He didn't learn with Rabbi Baruch. He was too small. He just went to see him. And I remember my father telling me that Rabbi Elia once told him, when my father was visiting in Eretz Israel a long time ago, Rabbi Elia said to him, "I want you to see Rabbi Zalman." And my father couldn't. He was already on the way to the airport. He was late for his flight and he drove out. The next time he came back to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Zalman had died. Rabbi Elia remembered and said to my father, "Did you go and see Rabbi Zalman?" And my father said, "I didn't have a chance. I would have had to go in and speak to him, and I didn't have a time. I was on the way to the airport when you told me to." He said, "I didn't tell you to speak to him. That's not why I sent you. I just wanted you to see him before he died. Just see his face. Because your life would have been different." That's what one can get from connecting with somebody without any conversation, without any learning, without any rational left brain stuff. Just experience, just see. And the other thing that Reb Baruch Israchi said, my son asked Reb Baruch Israchi, what advice would you give a young boy who's starting off a yeshiva career? What's the most important thing to look at? And he answered so beautifully. He said, see that you learn in a way that you just love it, that you have fun, that you're enjoying it. That's what's important. What does the Sefer Achinuch say? Isn't that interesting? The two things I was going to talk about. The ability to access wisdom without speaking, and the need for cheshek, which the Sefer Achinuch talks about, that thrill, that craving, that excitement, are the two things Rav Israchi spoke about. Just learn in a way, learn in a style you love, learn the things that you love. Don't feel that there's a need to turn pages, there's a need to have fun. There's a need to enjoy yourself. There's a need to enter a new world that just makes you want more and more of it. That's what's most important. The cheshek, the love, we spoke about it at Shalashudas, where the Rambam says, to be able to keep the Torah in a way that is besimchu v'tuv levov, to keep the Torah in a way that is joyful and big-hearted, that's so important as one moves forward. And that's something that certainly I see around in my very brief visit here to your community in Arat Beit Shemesh. So many people, firstly, who are learning, who are in the energy of Torah, who are getting the energy of Torah, who are giving out the energy of Torah, and people who are learning with a lot of cheshek, people who are loving what they're doing and doing it with a craving and with a passion. Just keep that up, because those are the two things you want. You want the energy that is not only rational. You want to be able to feel the power of Torah. You want to feel when you're davening, you want to feel that davening. When you're learning, you want to feel that learning. It's not only about what goes into your head or even what goes into your ear. Use your lev. Use your heart. Use your koach hadimyon. When you're sitting and learning, feel yourself in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, learning God's word, because that's what's happening. And you're getting that koach, you're getting that energy from Hashem Himself. Just feel that. And feel it with a joy and with a cheshek. Because with that, we can understand the ikur, that which is our principle, that which differentiates us from other nations. Hoideinu, our majesty, v'tifarteinu, and our glory is the Jewish people. A good vach, a good yor, and a gemar chasima tovah.